Yesterday, I went up to Finsbury Park.
My end as well.
No one asked.
Oh. I went up to tell the people.
I went up to Finsbury Park for a film shoot. And don't squeeze my toe.
You put it on my armrest.
Yeah, and women wear dresses doesn't mean you know. What are you, a 55-year-old man called Gary? Just because my toe's there doesn't mean you can squeeze it. That's not the mentality we like here, Darrell.
Well,
He was wearing thin socks. He was begging for it.
Don't paint me in such a light. You were sitting on a beanbag.
Sorry.
You put your leg on my armrest. What was I going to do? Let you do that?
That's fair. Go on, grab my foot.
No, I'm not going to do it now. Well, as long as you keep telling the story.
Touch my stinky feet.
Oh, great.
So, I went up to Finsbury Park yesterday because I was shooting a film with some guys and gals from uni. And on my way back, I was wheeling this like massive, you might have seen it in the lounge, I don't know if you saw, this massive case of lighting equipment. And I had to change in Victoria Station for this shoot. I was going from my home, which is East London District Line.
Yeah.
Just District Line to Victoria.
Straight shooting.
I was going up to Finsbury Park, and on the way back, I was walking through Victoria Station. And as I was walking through Victoria Station, I noticed a man who was just stood there looking at the map, right? And when you see people standing and looking, Darrell, what do you do?
I look away.
Exactly. Nothing.
Yeah.
Look away, ignore it. Okay?
Yes.
And about 5 minutes later of, lugging this massive lighting equipment case thing through the station, in the various underground tunnels of London, I saw this lad again. I see a lad, he's about 50. he's just like staring at the District Line map. And yeah. I was like, okay, this man has been staring at a map for a while. I think he's lost.
Right.
So I walked up to him and I gave him a thumbs up and I was like, you all right?
Yeah.
You okay? And he was like,
brave.
Yeah, he just went, I'm trying to get to Clapham Junction.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, bless.
Yeah.
So he was looking at the District Line map, and for anyone who doesn't live in London,
no.
Is Clapham Junction on the District Line?
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
No.
No.
Overground.
Is it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Not cultured like you.
Yeah, no.
But anyway.
He was not getting home that day.
Yeah. So Victoria is a massive station, right? And he was in the underground looking at the District Line map. And I was like, mate, it's not on the District Line.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Oh, I thought it was. It's on the green line, because the District Line is green on the maps, right?"
Yeah, yeah.
And he showed me his Google Maps on his phone, and he had the journey up.
Yeah,
and it said Victoria to Clapham Junction, and it was a green thing, but it didn't say District Line. It said Southern.
Right.
And
he must have just seen green.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he was a tourist. Maybe
Did he sound
anything
like he wasn't from London?
I couldn't say.
Yeah,
there's so many, there's so many different accents in London. You can't even.
That's true.
But yeah, and I was like, mate, that Southern Railways, that's not the underground. And he had a very strong accent. He was African,
right?
And I being a simple white guy with a deaf in the left ear,
yeah,
I was like, mate, okay. and I like pointed up and I was like, it's the overhead Southern Railway.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me and his eyes widened.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh shit. If I hadn't have intervened,
he would be lost forever.
If I hadn't have intervened, he would still be walking through those tunnels right now.
Yeah. I guess it takes that sort of person to just approach that unknown scenario. Because that could have gone bad.
Yeah.
Or you just helped the guy find his way through London, basically.
Well, I feel like that's a somewhat of a lesson, right?
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to talk to people because they need help and you can help them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good thing to do, to be fair. Yeah. Because there's always sort of something. It might have seemed unsettling at the beginning, but you just sort of, out of kindness, you just reckon,
I'm a lovely guy.
Yeah. Well, you must be.
I must be.
You must be. I think that guy would have been lost had you not done that. because he must, I mean, he was there, you lugging that along, he was there that distance and no one else. No one else. London Victoria is a massive station. All sorts of train lines go through that.
All sorts of trains.
And no one...
One small one is two wheels, yeah. One wheel, all exactly. of them.
And no one thought to just be like, oh, is this guy, you know, lost? He seems to be looking at this map an awfully suspect amount of time. So, like, yeah.
Maybe he was planning a heist.
All that. Clapham Junction. It's the place you get it done. But I guess they would have told him how to get there or something. He would have had private travel if that was the case. I don't know. Yeah. I think that's invaluable, though. I think that's...
You're invaluable.
Oh, don't even...
Is invaluable one of those Latin words that means valuable?
Invaluable is valuable, but to a price that shall not be named.
That's silly.
That is very silly, but it means a lot.
Like the word inflammable.
Inflammable.
What does it mean?
Flammable.
Silly.
Yeah.
Silly language.
Yeah. I think language is quite dumb, but I like it a lot.
Hey you.
Hey me.
What's your favourite word?
My favourite word? Like at the moment or ever?
At the moment.
I like filibuster right now.
Who's Phil?
Phil I Buster.
Hey Buster.
Filibuster's pretty good, to be fair.
What does that mean?
It's a political thing. It's like about like when a politician will ramble and sort of not answer a question.
Really?
Yeah. I think so.
I thought that's just called being a Tory.
That is, oh, we've done it. We've done it. We've made it political.
He made it.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think it's something like that. Anyway, I mean, the first time I heard that word was Saints Row 4, which shows how educated I am.
Nerd.
It's a game.
You're a game.
I don't know what to say. You've stumped me. You've really stumped me now. What's your favourite word the minute? It's always a question.
Herbivore.
Herbivore.
I like that.
I can understand that.
Yeah?
I get that. Oh, no. Can I change my word?
Go on.
Horticulturalist. Because I've started getting plants.
Tell me more.
Well, because my flatmate left. She's from Denmark, I think. And... she left the country in January, and I was the last person left in the flat. And she said, "You should look after my bonsai tree." I sound so old. Sometimes when I ramble about the goings on in my life, I feel like I got older really fast. But like,
mate, you were born at 50.
Yeah. I know. I feel like that. To be fair, it's not bad. It's just like. Some people must not find this interesting at all. But like she loaned me, she's just come back now, but she like loaned me her bonsai tree for like 4 months, and I sort of weirdly really felt affectionate. I felt really affectionate about that tree. So then I bought another plant. That plant's on the way. But like I was just like, I just go for walks through nature with like Matt or something, and or like, I don't know. I just go to a park. I mean, like when we went to the park earlier, I was thinking like, yeah. I mean, look at all this nature that's here still.
A lovely day.
It's all preserved. It's all lovely. Greenwich Park was lovely. It's just full of greenery and stuff. I find myself to be quite a horticulturalist. Like, I used to call myself like the Black Alan Titchmarsh for a little bit. Like
Blaland Titchmarsh.
Yeah. But we're doing a shot again.
It's not okay. A shot.
It is a shot.
Look, we're not degenerates.
But if we drink it in one.
We are drinking Persona the Passion Drink.
So what do we call it then? So it's not a shot. What is it?
Passion.
Just we're drinking passionately.
We're drinking passion. Is it passion fruit?
It is passion fruit, yeah.
What the fuck is passion fruit?
It's a passionate fruit.
What's it passionate about?
Fruit, I think it's just because it's exotic. I think that's the only reason.
Hold on. Do another one. Oh, that was loud.
It was quite loud. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Just been beers.
What beer do you like?
I really like Hop House. Like the one with 13 on it.
I don't know that.
It's really nice. It's a really nice like bitter lager thingy. It's really nice. It's my favourite beer.
Do you get that like in a pub or like
you can
shop?
Get it anywhere really. Not anywhere, but like they come in well, they come in cans, they come in like little bottles. It's really nice. It's like it's kind of like a hipster beer, to be fair. But it's really nice. It's like almost an IPA. It's really good.
Yippa.
Or I do like Peroni, actually. I really do like Peroni, but San Miguel's probably my go-to.
San Miguel's easy, lovely.
My go-to easy beer. You just neck that down. Love Desperado.
You do.
I do neck it down. To be fair, I did finish my San Miguel a while ago.
Feel how much I got left.
Oh my god. Am I? No, I don't think I have as well. I think I drink it at an acceptable pace at this point. I dwell on beers. I like to have them for a while. Or at least as long as I think necessary. you've just got like a quarter of a beer left.
About half, from half.
Maybe a half from like 2 hours ago though.
Yeah.
Why not though? Yeah.
Well, I'll drink it and you entertain the public with your views on anything you like. Pick something.
Anything?
Yeah.
Well, like what? Like, give me a prompt. Because we'll go through
little doorways. Okay, so the first one is, do you want to talk about natural or synthetic?
Synthetic.
Okay.
Drew me immediately.
Though. Something sensual or something thought-based?
Thought.
Okay, so is something synthetic thought-based? It sounds like you want to talk about politics.
Oh my god. Yes.
Or how about,
yeah,
give me the entire history, because I did this with Joe. The entire history of your relationship in the past, your upbringing, and your current relationship with God, religion, and philosophy.
I can do that.
Go for it.
I can do that. Well, all right. I was raised in like a pretty much cookie cutter Christian family, like Protestant, all my life. Like my parents, we'd pray every night. I sort of wouldn't get it. We didn't go to church much after a certain time, just because we just kind of weren't that sort of family, I guess. What's that? Is that a dog?
Dog.
Nice dog. Yeah. So we just sort of do that. I sang for the choir. Mm. I played piano for the choir. Like that, and that didn't strengthen my faith. It was just sort of like that was how I represented my family, and then it must have meant something to them in that respect. That must have been something like quite Christian to them, that I was choosing to make my art for Christianity. But I wasn't choosing that. They were making me do that, basically. My dad was like, "You're gonna learn piano. You're gonna learn how to sing." So then.
Are there recordings of you singing?
Yes, there are recordings of me singing.
How much do I have to pay you?
I can show you next time you're at my house.
For real?
Yeah, there's a CD.
How old were you in these?
Probably 5 through to 8.
Okay.
I mean, but there's like one... there's a video of me doing ballet in my living room.
Yes, please.
Which wasn't quite Christian, but no one's seeing that. Not even you, Matt, right? But...
Matt's not over there.
I'm looking
there.
At Matt. Matt's right there. He's in the camera right there.
There's no camera.
What? So, at the age of...
All right, Ferris Bueller.
At the age... this is a big dome. This is...
You just find imaginary cameras around.
So, right there.
Darrell was just looking around the shed for a camera.
At the age of 11, probably like year 5.
11
just...
what?
Years old.
Okay.
You idiot. Yeah. At the age of 11 what? I'm probably by, I don't know.
Jesus. Yeah.
By year 5, I started to question a lot of things. And no one really had many answers for me. I used to pray a lot about certain things, like people dying, for example. Mm. Where obviously that's out of people's control. Especially God. Because God will let people die, in theory, right?
People have to die.
Because they have to.
Yeah.
But with me, it was like, if you let someone I care about die, what's the point, right? As a kid, it was like that. So, you know, people would drop off because they get old. Mm. And I'd be disheartened by that. And so I just sort of, you know, just stopped believing, I guess. In, you know, by 13 properly, I was like... happy to be an agnostic, and I mean I was less so, maybe I was more atheist at the time. I think I used to say agnostic, but I was very much against the facet of religion. Like
were you Was it the fact, were you more non-believing or were you more opposed to it?
I think at the time I was really opposed to it because it had pissed me off as a child.
Yeah.
It was very difficult. You give a lot to religion as a kid, especially because you don't know what the fuck you're praying for.
Yes.
You just are praying. So like
what your parents
tell
you.
Yeah. So you give a lot to that. And then it's like, if you get nothing in return sometimes, it's just like, what the fuck? Why am I doing this? But like, so yeah, I think at the time I was really against it. Probably more of an atheist between like 13 and 16. Yeah, go on. Every time I say yeah, go on, that's because he's like, do you want another shot? Well, or not a shot, whatever it is that he calls it.
A drink. We're not degenerates.
But they are shots, though.
But the thing is, this drink we've got is...
It's liqueur, but...
My brother gave it to me a good few months ago.
Shout out to Evan,
if you're listening. You're not, but hi. I don't drink too much.
Yeah.
Especially on my own. I don't ever drink
that
on my
is
own.
A casual thing to drink with people, though.
And like, yeah, it's a lovely fruit-based thing. I thought I'd save it for a special occasion.
A nice fruity drink for a fruity boy.
I forgot I had it.
Yeah.
I've got a girlfriend.
No, I'm the fruity one.
Oh.
Idiot.
Okay.
Come on now.
We saw a rainbow earlier.
We did see a rainbow earlier, and then we didn't. and then we made out a lot.
Like, it was kind of gay.
It was nice. I took a picture, and I'm gonna send that to Matthew later.
Yes,
after we're done recording. But no. Well, okay. So after 16, I got really into studying religion because despite like my hatred in a way that I had because of like what my life was as a child. I still found it really fascinating that people have faith in things that they don't even know properly. I thought that was incredible. And so I kept, I kept at it. I read the Bible 3 times. And that was only because I wanted to understand how people find like semblance in those stories and stuff. Like, you know, because it's just like, certain, like the stories in the Bible, there's so many millennia from now and people still find them to be relatable. I think that's amazing. So like with Christianity, it was just sort of like a thing where I wanted to understand it, especially because my parents still believed, but I was never going to go back to that. So that's when I think the agnosticism began, where it's just sort of, no one could tell me that there's no God, but no one could tell me that there is one either. I think that I'm very happy to wait for things to happen. I'll be like, yeah, sure, I see this now. But like, I was always one of those kids where it's like, you tell, give me proof, and I'll buy it. That sort of thing. But I'm so fascinated by it anyway. That's my take. It's just sort of, I don't know, agnostic, but really interested still. Yeah.
On the subject of agnosticism.
Yeah.
That's the word.
Agnosticism.
Ism.
Yeah.
You said before when you were younger, you kind of went towards the route of rejection, right? Rather like fuck this, rather than what is this?
Which I don't think it was fair, but yeah. As a child, I just decided not to be interested.
Yeah, children are very binary, aren't they? Yeah, it's like super, I love it or I hate it.
It's super linear with that.
Yeah. But would you say now, are you more along the lines of I don't know if there's God or not? Or are you along the lines of, I don't know if this representation of God is true or not?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't.
I like that. Humble.
Yeah, well, I don't. Yeah. I don't. I try to learn many things. I like to learn a bunch of perspectives on it. Like, I mean, listening to your perspective on it and just sort of like, you know, you learned a lot about a lot of different cultures. It still doesn't mean I know anything. Like, I know what you know. I don't know anything still. It's sort of like, I don't have any strong opinions on it because it's like, if I did, I must know everything.
Yeah.
I have to, there's so many perspectives and takes about it and lore from certain angles and history. Like, it's just sort of, it's all more fascinating to me that I don't know. Like, and I mean, it's sort of like you chase that thing about when you don't know something and you chase trying to learn. I find that way more interesting.
Do you
about that, you know?
But that idea of like not knowing, right? Everyone that has some sort of humility. Someone that's remotely humble has that feeling, right? Of not knowing, the existential feeling of not knowing everything.
Yeah.
Do you find comfort in that, or do you find anxiety in that?
Recently, I've decided... Well, I've not decided. It just happens that recently over the last year and a half.
Yeah,
I think that it's a comfortable feeling, because I think I'd go crazy if I knew absolutely everything. I knew things were to be true and nothing changes after that.
Yeah.
I like to learn. You know, I read this book about LSD studies and psilocybin and all that sort of stuff, and like.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Well, don't, unless you want to. And then, people would have religious experiences and they change their mind, literally, about Christianity to, I don't know, Judaism or something. People would just see it in a different light. I want to know about all that, but, you know, I don't think there's any benefit of being sure. Apart from like the faith that it instills in people, it's sort of like if you're sure, and then with that sort of like you have self-assuredness about what you believe, and you use that to argue with people or diminish what someone else thinks, I think that's the wrong way to go about it. I think it's just sort of like, you know, you formulate your opinion and you have it, that's, and then it helps you and that's it.
I mean, you can't be objectively sure about what God is unless you are God, right?
I think so.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any doubt that there might be one. I don't think there's any... It's like, it's certainly... If it's so under scrutiny, there must be some sort of semblance with it. Like, it can't all just be one-sided. There are people just trying to disprove that. I think that there's something quite tangible.
Tangible. That's a good word.
Yeah. There's something quite... just real and tangible about that.
Yeah.
That it kind of, you know, the idea had to come from somewhere. I want to understand a lot of perspectives on it. So that's like how I feel about it.
Have you done much? You know, you said before you did like research and stuff.
Yeah.
Before. Was that in just like Western Christianity, or did you explore other religions?
No, I looked at like some Middle Eastern sort of takes on Islam and... I didn't read the Bible, but I read sort of think pieces about how people interpret the Bible, because there's like the interpretations even like launch further than what the scripture is. I find that really, really intriguing. And that's something that I want to see. I want to see people, like individuals, how they think about things. That'll inform me. There's no way I'm ever gonna complete that, but I think that's those are the sort of like incomplete goals that you should have, so that you never finish an expedition. I don't know, it's just like, yeah, one of those things where it's just I want to know a lot, but I don't want to know everything. Yeah, it's like, it's hard to quantify that, but it's that's the take of it. Yeah, with religion especially as well. Because there's no right answer.
You know how people would say you get religious people that aren't religious, they don't believe in God as per se.
Yeah,
and they go, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Yeah. What do you think of that? You know, like can you? Because the idea of God, right?
Yeah.
If you say I worship God. And yeah, to most people, that's like, okay, I worship the God that's written in the Bible and everything that is, you know, objectively factual.
Even
to that
for me,
statement.
That's what I'd think first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you think that, is there validity in someone saying the word God and meaning their own meaning of God? Like, is it a catch-all term for like spirits?
For most people, they'll see it as like this Christian declaration, I think, because of what... just because of where we are.
Yeah.
That's definitely a British thing to be Protestant or Catholic.
We do love a good protest.
Yeah. Well, you know, the people do.
Fuck the Vatican, am I right?
yes, you are.
All the homies hate the Vatican.
But there's... Yeah. I think there's validity in it.
You know the Vatican, you know the Pope does his speeches from that balcony?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why he does it from the balcony?
In case he got murdered, I assume. I'm going to guess that. Why?
Basically, the first ever pope.
Yeah.
Pope John the John.
What, John the John?
When he was doing
John
his,
1.
John the 1st.
Johnny Uno.
Primary John.
Primary John.
When he was speaking on that, that, you know, that balcony, he finished his speech, fucking jumped off.
Right.
You know, all the popes have, you know, like you get those flying lizards.
Will they?
They open their arms and there's like skin flaps come out.
Okay, yeah.
All the popes have them.
Yeah.
And they jump off the balcony and just fly across the Vatican. Mm. That's why the Vatican is so tiny and it's just a straight line. Because the popes really like to all claim they've flown across the country.
Yeah.
And that's where the balcony thing comes from.
That is so fascinatingly insane.
I know. you would not believe it.
Yeah.
That every pope has a bit of skin they, you know, used
of
to fly.
But of course.
Yeah.
But of course, in a way. That's just, of course they'd claim that.
Why do you think God chose them?
Yeah. Because they just fly.
They do be doing
the,
that.
The popes just be flying. Of course they do. Of course.
The pope be flying.
Of course. They, of course. Well, who's the pope right now? What?
Fucking John Paul George Ringo.
He had a different, Pope Francisco, I think.
Francisco?
I think he's Argentinian.
Oh.
The new pope. Oh, he's not even new. Wow, that's powerful.
It is that's windy.
Torrential. It feels like it's raining.
Torrential wind.
Well, I think it's raining. Well, the gales. Like me. I think, of course the popes would claim something like that. That, I mean, it's just, but that's like just to instill faith above anything. They know it's, well, it's not, well, maybe it's not a lie.
What would you do if you saw a flying pope?
If I saw a fly,
just like you're walking on the street, throwing up in a bin.
I jump to Christianity. I mean, you know me, and you know with me, it doesn't take a lot to impress me.
Yeah.
I think if I saw that, I'd think I'd jump to Christianity straight away.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there's no way.
Would you jump to Catholicism?
Catholicism, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
Whatever he told me.
Mate, if the Pope can fly, he's doing something right.
If he can properly fly. Like, yeah, I mean, there's just, it's just that thing about, like, many people make a lot of claims about religion, and I'm open as long as you show me.
Yeah.
Because with believing, it's just sort of, I get what it is, but I believe in other things right now.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
Your autobiography. Me with believing.
Me with believing.
That should be the title.
Yeah, I might do that.
Yeah.
I might do that for you.
I like that.
Maybe I'll make it something quest related.
How long have we been recording for?
Oh.
Fucking hour and 5.
Really?
We should probably wrap up soon.
Of course we have.
No one's going to be listening this long.
I might do. Split it in half. Two-parter.
Should I?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Everyone loves a two-parter, don't they?
Okay, for everyone listening, this is the point in the podcast where we decided to split it in half.
We love two-parters.
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 See? This is the point where everyone stopped listening now.
Yeah, no. Oh my golly gosh. If you're still listening right now, send me a DM.
Yeah.
Titled Two Parters.
I'll invite you to the pub if you are listening still.
Yeah, if you're still listening, let's go pub.
Let's go do that.
Yeah.
Let's have a nice pint.
What if somebody we don't like is listening?
Well, I'm gonna start liking them, aren't I?
We just won't pay for the pint.
Yeah, get your own.
Get your own pint.
Get your own pint.
Dickhead.
Come on now. Leech.
You leech.
A leech.
You leech.
That was quite guttural, wasn't it? A leech.
Right.
You little leech.
You little leech.
Dirty.
Dirty leech. You dirty leech.
Don't you have your own money? Yeah. I actually might talk about that. How, like, my mum said that my voice was too deep.
Go for it.
My mum said my voice was too deep.
That was an amazing story.
Thank you, everyone.
And that was the meaning of life. Thank you so much for listening. Good night.
Good night. Do you say good night at the end? Is that how you close it normally?
I don't know.
You don't close it like that.
And that has been part 2 of The Meaning of Life with Darrell Gale. If you've enjoyed this, then that's fantastic. If you haven't, then I do not give a shit. Thank you so much for listening. Any last words, Darrell?
Still love you.
Bye-bye.